This is the Closet Geek episode 132 for October 27, 2016.
This is Brandon Sanderson, author of the Mistborn series and various other wonderful fantasy novels, and you are listening to the Closet Geek.
Closet Geek, coming to you each week in Closet Geek. All things of geeks critiqued in Closet Geek. Comics and games and tech in Closet Geek. Lego, Star Wars, Star Trek, and Closet Geek. We are not nerds, we have some social skills to call our own. Closet Geek!
Hello and welcome to The Closet Geek, where geeks come out. The podcast where four brothers have united their powers to become the Four Horsemen of Geek to bring you the latest in geeky news. We are your hosts, Barry, John, Ryan, and Michael Ricks.
Hey!
Yes.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Closet Geek.
We are all brothers.
Yes, we are.
Hence the last name.
Brothers of the same mother.
Moving it. Brothers from the same mother.
Brothers of the same mother.
That's right.
Imagine.
Yeah, we are all here. We're excited to talk about geeky stuff as we always do. So let's jump into the first segment of the show.
This week in Geek.
This is This Week in Geek, where we talk about things we love, things we could recommend for you guys to check out, things that we have done that is are geeky. So, John, why don't you tell us what you did geeky these last couple weeks?
All right. Not a whole lot.
Okay, moving on.
Mostly just watching TV. You know, the fall season is going strong. And so, you know,
all the
Supergirl, Flash, you know, watching those, of course. But a couple of the new shows that started this year that we've been watching, one of them is Timeless. That's the new one that's on NBC.
That's the time travel.
Yeah. So basically, it's all about going back in history to try to stop the bad guys from changing history so that the future doesn't change.
Yeah.
And so it's pretty cool.
My question is. There's so many different variations on how time travel works, right? So do you feel that their version of how time travel works?
Is it a multiverse system or is it a linear
like
system?
Fringe?
No, it is.
Or is linear. It a Doctor Who timey-wimey wibbly-wobbly thing?
No, it seems to be linear because when they do go back in the past, you know, and if something does go differently, then when they get back to what used to be their present, everybody that was left behind has this new remembrance of what the past was. And so it's really weird. But that's one of the cool things.
So they go back to the future and they're like, oh, memories.
Things change. They don't have memories of the changes. Because one of the cool things is one of the main characters, she's a college professor, a historian. That's kind of one of the reasons why I have her, so that they can, you know, make sure that they know everything that they're supposed to know about.
Yeah, they got to fit into the time zone they try to.
But one of the interesting things is originally in her present timeline, her mom was dying of cancer and her sister was taking care of her. When she came back after the Hindenburg mission, things had changed to the point where her mom was now like healthy, no cancer, and her dad was somebody completely different.
Whoa.
That would
be weird.
Because what happened was on the Hindenburg, like somebody lived that originally died.
And it's the butterfly effect.
It is. So the descendants of that person that lived actually are.
Got it.
Yeah,
so,
the ancestors of anyway. So
yeah, it's a linear butterfly effect.
Yeah,
got
so
it.
Like her father in the new timeline was descended from this person that lived from the Hindenburg.
Because the Hindenburg was not destroyed. Which is interesting. There was only like 100 people who died on that thing. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah. So, I mean, that kind of, so the, these little twists and like, okay, well, what's different now? And so now she has like this fiance that she has no clue who he even is.
Nice.
And she's like, I have no idea who you are, but I'm supposed
don't
to
touch
be
me.
Engaged to you.
Do they have to brief the future people about who they are? And what happened?
I know. Like, how does that happen?
Yeah, like their organization.
They come back and they're like, oh, you work here?
They seem to. I mean,
or what if there's no more future project and they can't go back?
But, well, that's going to be kind of interesting. It's like I think that's what. I think that's what the quote unquote bad guy is trying to do. I think he's trying to stop the
organization from starting,
society that's behind this time travel from like gaining power.
So
to everybody else, he looks like a definitely terrorist, on my watch list. But to him, he's like, I know, I'm a patriot, and you'll understand when you blah 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 blah. Anyway,
well, and it's streaming, so, and it's streaming on Hulu, so you can watch it on Hulu.
Yeah. So it's NBC. You can watch it through Hulu. The other show that we've been watching also kind of deals with timey, wimey, wibbly wobbly stuff. It's called Frequency.
It's the TV show based off the movie.
Yeah, it's based on the movie that came out a dozen or so years ago.
The Dennis Quaid movie.
Yeah, yeah. So in the TV show, it's about like the daughter that like gets a hold of her dad's old ham radio, and somehow it gets hit by lightning, and now like she can communicate to her dad 20 years ago because lightning all kinds of things that we weren't aware
lightning
of.
Magical.
Except the Flash had dark matter involved with his, you know.
Moving on. So Frequency.
So Frequency. So that's pretty cool, and it kind of does a lot of the same things where she like actually works with her dad from 20 years ago to help kind of solve crimes that are existing in the present. And so then she like
the unsolved crimes.
Yeah. But in the Frequency show, she has memories of the way that it used to be, as well as memories of the way that it is now. So she has like these two, dual memories of the way. So it's kind of interesting how they're handling the whole time thing. But I do think it's kind of funny that every network seems to have some kind of time travel show.
Even CW, even ABC, BBC. Well,
the CW has like The Flash. He time travels.
Well, it's like true. Legends of Tomorrow.
And he's
all about
Legends of Tomorrow is all about time travel. Yeah.
I just want to interject because I'm way behind on all the shows. So my wife and I are actually watching the season 2 of Flash.
Binge.
And
oh my goodness.
Barry is the worst time traveler in the world.
It shows over and over.
Stop that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
They told you not to do that, and you're doing it.
He's
exactly.
An idiot. Yes,
you think
he's
the
an
Flash
idiot.
Parade is all about.
He's
motivated
kind of
purely by his
does?
Emotions.
Yeah. And so I'm just like, oh my gosh, you are ridiculous, dude. But
I love how the Flashpoint affects all the shows, though.
Well,
you know, it's like like Arrow is different because of the Flashpoint, and it's like it's interesting.
That. That's true.
So cool.
So that's about pretty much it for me.
Cool.
I haven't really done much gaming or I'm reading a book right now called Gardens of the Moon, which is a fantasy book. It's pretty cool, but that's about it.
About moon agriculture.
There you go. It's about gardening.
I have no idea why it's called Gardens, to be honest. It has nothing to do with the moon or
gardening.
Or gardening.
I'm still trying to figure out why it's called
Gardening. Titles.
I know. All right. Michael, what'd you do geeky this last couple weeks?
Yeah, so I attended and helped run Anime Bonsai Convention.
Yay.
2016.
Woo! Yeah, that's cool.
I'm the medical director and emergency services director, and from my department's standpoint, it went fantastic. There was a few scares, but the attendees came back and was like, I'm okay. And I'm like, hooray.
Nobody died.
Nobody broke anything on my watch. Exactly. You know, if it was away, I didn't hear about it. It didn't happen. But this year we did something different where we changed the whole layout of the building, of how the panel rooms and the vendor hall and everything was changed. And so all the panel rooms were bigger. The vendor space was bigger, which is awesome because, one, the attendees love having more options for shopping.
Of course.
At the convention. But it also brings in some additional revenue for the convention. Hooray.
Money, yay.
And then, yeah, money, yay. But because all the panel rooms and events rooms and so forth were larger because of just the change of appropriation, it didn't change the square footage of the building, but because of that, all the attendees were like, this is so great. We're having such a great time. Too bad not many people came. And we're like, whoa, actually the numbers are up this year for attendees, but the hallways are just not jam packed because people are in the events they wanted to be in.
We were smarter in our organization this year.
Hey, somebody decided to do some, you know, LCAD graphic models and did some traffic, you know, statistics. It's amazing how that helps. So overall, Banzai was a great convention. It was the year's theme was sword and sorcery. So the scavenger hunt, because they do, the events team does a scavenger hunt each year. The scavenger hunt was, really successful. It's been kind of a great thing each year. Next year's theme is Matsuri, which just means festival. And so it's basically any and all types of festivals, New Year's, Christmas, high school, you know, whatever it ends up being. So it's going to be a very open and broad subject matter for the convention, which allows us to kind of do whatever we want this year. So it'll be interesting to see how that all plans out. But on Saturday or on Friday night, I did a panel of censorship in anime. Why? Why? Which was just an educational and discussion panel on, you know, the laws and culture and how that's affected the anime industry and how the, you know, Article 175 of their penal code kind of relegated everything. And then how that product eventually comes to the Western world in the United States. And then
and gets edited the United some States, more.
Yeah, the United States distributors decide, oh, well, this product that's, you know, aimed for the, you know, 12 to 14 year olds isn't appropriate for 12 to 14 year olds in America. Let's remove this and change that and do this. Oh, that's better, right? You know, I mean, the classic is removing all blood from Dragon Ball. You know, so it's like Dragon Ball Z. It's like a fighting show, right? But they took out all the blood.
Know. I've never seen it, and I don't watch it.
That's okay. That's okay.
Come on, man.
Yeah,
I tried to watch Naruto.
Yeah,
that's okay, Ryan. I just couldn't stand it.
Yeah, it's so childish and dumb,
isn't it? Well, it is childish.
It is designed for kids.
Bleach is better. You should watch Bleach and see what you think of that.
See, Bleach is more but for high school kids.
But Naruto gets better though.
Anything for 40 somethings?
Attack on Titan.
Attack on Seinen. Because see, what they're referring to is the shonen, which is the junior high, high school, early college, and then you have the seinen, which is college and older. So like your Attack on Titan, your Psychopaths, and so forth.
Do they have anything for older people?
Ghost in the Shell. Michelle is saying
usually older. Ghost in the Shell is not bad.
Yeah,
it's a little boring. So that's, but
that's older people category. Don't watch anime. Come on.
Hey.
I'm trying.
So did that panel. It was successful. It was really cool because there was a girl who came up to me after the panel and said, "You know, I really want to thank you because I'm brand new to anime. My friends introduced me to it in the summer, and so I haven't had a lot of opportunity to learn about it." And she's like, "You've answered so many questions about why, you know, the anime industry decides to do what they do with their product, because it's all in the culture and the laws of the land that create that issue." And she it was nice. It was a nice compliment that, you know, somebody who was brand new actually got the education they wanted from the panel that I presented. And then the next day I did the 20th anniversary panel for Neon Genesis Evangelion, which was lots of fun. We just kind of reminisced and talked about our favorites and so forth. And I got to break out my Neon Genesis Evangelion VHS box set of all 13 VHS.
Woo, VHS.
Oh man, I remember like rushing into the mall before they opened so I could stand in front of the Suncoast grating, and as soon as the door went up, I'd run inside and grab the VHS off the tape, you know, because it one came out essentially every month.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm looking at these 13 videotapes, and I'm thinking, this was expensive. It was like $35 of VHS.
Yeah, totally.
And I'm like, Gosh, now you get three DVDs or one Blu-ray, and it's like everything.
Yeah,
you know, right, for the same price or less.
Collection.
Yeah. And I'm like, man, back then you were a collector.
That's right.
You weren't.
You had to save shelf space.
You were a true otaku, right?
That's right.
So, but yeah, so that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, cool.
Nice convention. On Saturday morning, I attended a panel called Podcasting 101 with the Geek Show. So there's a podcast that's regionally popular around here called the Geek Show podcast. Carrie Jackson.
Jackson, yeah. That's right.
Yeah. So Carrie Jackson was actually the host of the panel. And so I was like, oh, this sounds like very interesting. The more the merrier I can learn. It was me and one other person.
Oh,
what?
Sad.
Are you seriously? Seriously, it was media stormed. Like, it was all over social media about the panel. It was, you know, well placed in. It was like an 11 a.m. panel. So it wasn't too early.
Was there a room misprint or something?
No, it was all there, and everybody was just like blown away. So, but Carrie, he's honestly a genuinely nice guy, you know, as long as you're not an idiot, which I can relate to. So not
relate to you can relate you can relate to being an idiot.
The truth has been told, people.
Dang it, I blew my cover.
Set yourself up for that.
I was able to really just have like a one-on-one with him about like, hey, how does this work? What, you know, what would you recommend based off of your experience? And I kind of talked about the Closet Geek podcast, and you know, there was two things that he really pointed out. He says, you know, first you have to figure out a layout that is going to differentiate you from everybody else, because there's so many podcasts out there. And I was like, well, you know, luckily we're four brothers who happen to be all geeks, which creates an interesting dynamic. But at the same time, we all have specialties in the industry. And so we have a unique perspective to, you know, see things from different, you know, industry angles. So he's like, oh, yeah, he thought that was cool. But he was talking about how sound quality is the holy grail of podcasting.
Yes.
Well, sure, because that's all it is audio.
Because it's all audio. And he says, even if you add video, you still need to be able to hear, and people want to experience it like they're in the room with you.
Yeah. Right.
And he says, you can pull that off when you are all in the same studio. That makes sense. But when
but
you
it's
have
harder
to Skype
when we're
in,
Skyping together.
Right. He says, when you Skype in, you're at the mercy of the internet. Because you could all have the most amazing hardware. However, if the internet decides
the connection is bad, right?
If the connection is bad, you're screwed, and it can really destroy an episode. And I'm
we're pretty much screwed.
And we've done that plenty of times.
Yeah, but he said that, you know, the only way is one, get a good mixing board, so you can really nitpick the sound. And then do good post production. And he said that they prefer to use Adobe Premiere Sound.
Well, I would too.
And I'm like, but that
I
would
can't
be
pay
nice.
For it.
I don't have the $50 like, a month, you know.
Yeah,
and I'm like, really so people expensive. Need to go use our Amazon link a lot That's more. Right. So we can pay the $50 a month, you know.
Winter is coming.
iCreative Cloud product.
Yes.
But he also said that, you know, if you were willing to save up, we could look into what's called a Comrex unit. And it's essentially what broadcasters use when they are on site somewhere. For example, there's the, hey, you know, I'm here at this sports game, but all sports the feed, ball. All the feed from the sports ball event is going to the broadcast studio, not taken care of at the location. And he said, you know, the only drawback of that is, you know, it's expensive. And I was like, well, yeah. And he's like, or you can just go crazy and install stereo landlines.
Wow.
You know, and then and basically
hardcore,
you know, hard line into each other to make sure everything sounds 100% clear.
And, or we could just keep doing what we're doing exactly now, and everything's great.
We can just, you know, make sure that we have the connection nights.
That's right. So,
but I just thought that was interesting to you know, point out. And plus, just... I gave him my card from the Closet Geek. He thought it was really cool. He saw that he saw our NES system logo, and he's like, oh, that's awesome. And I said, look at the back. And he looked at the back, and he's like, whoa, that's really cool. And I said, yeah. One of our guests did that for us.
What's on the back? I haven't seen this.
It's our. Oh, it's a card. It's TJ's illustration.
Well, that's the back.
Oh, okay.
And that's the front.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He just had those.
Movies. Yeah. So I just make them up because I can.
And, sound cool like that.
But he's the program director for Salt Lake Comic Con.
Oh, okay.
And is so he really? He's yeah. And so he's like, we have nobody who knows anything about anime, you know, when it comes to Salt Lake Comic Con. And so he's, and I'm like, well, I'd love to do a panel for you guys, you know. And he's like, I will give your card to my person, you know.
Ooh. Mike's going to be a Salt Lake Comic Con panel guy.
Panelist.
Geek booth.
Yeah, so, you know, it's, I might be able to figure something out where Salt Lake Comic Con works with Anime Bonsai Convention and the Closet Geek Studios to do Anime 101 presented by the Closet Geek Studios and Anime Bonsai Convention.
Right. Yeah, that'd be cool.
Do it.
We'll awesome. We'll figure something out. But lastly, I picked up Battlefield 1.
More?
I picked up Battlefield 1.
Oh, and okay.
This is not a competition to see who is most geeky.
I am the most geeky of all.
And if I'm not the most geeky this week, screw you all.
Well, okay. All right, man.
I don't know how to take this.
Wait. This is a competition.
That's right.
Isn't that what brothers do?
It's always been a competition.
Yeah, Battlefield 1 is pretty awesome.
And I'm pretty much winning.
I bet it's very purdy.
It's really purdy and surprisingly difficult. I'm like, there is no tutorial in this game. They're just like, you've played a first-person shooter. Go!
You know what you're doing. If you're buying this game, you know what you're doing.
If you've played Battlefield before.
You
want to know the controls? You're going to have to go through the options screens to know what the buttons do, buddy. No, but it was very intuitive because first-person shooters are really designed, you know, cookie cutter when it comes to controls, unless you really want to specialize it. So I was like, done. I was like 3 minutes into the game, and I'm like, got this. All right.
I got this.
Wait, I can't jump. Oh, no, there. I'm good. Okay.
All right, Ryan, what do you got?
Ryan.
Ooh, let's see. I've been working a lot of hours lately, actually. Sleepy Hollow is making this massive episode, and I've been doing tons and tons and tons of stuff for them.
Awesome.
So I haven't really had a big opportunity to geek out. But
except your job.
Except you make props for TV shows.
Yeah, that's pretty fun, actually. Yeah. And it's been really good. The people I work with are just stellar, and it's a very good situation.
Awesome.
I think I finished Rick and Morty. We talked about this last
time. Okay,
yeah, sure.
I finished the 2 season.
All right.
Awesome. Really great cliffhanger at the end.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
And so,
except they're ending it.
Yeah, whatever. It doesn't matter. I just hope they do more stuff. It doesn't have to be Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, okay, I'm done with that animation show. I'll try Naruto. Right. And I was like, got almost through the first episode. I was just like, I can't stand
this. You didn't make it through the one episode?
I can't stand this. It's so dumb.
Oh.
Watch this.
Oh, that's funny.
So, I've watched them all.
I know. I can't. You are an enigma.
I don't blame you. It's okay.
Man.
So then I'm like, okay.
I'll admit that Naruto, like when they're younger, there's a lot of stuff that I hate, and especially a lot of the filler episodes. But like,
it's not really the story; it's just the kind of the interspaced weird anime faces and reactions that they have that doesn't make any sense in the real world.
The over like animated reactions.
Oh,
yeah.
I brought in a cupcake to school. What? What is wrong with you?
Ryan's never liked that type of anime, though.
Golly. And so I was like, okay, I like cartoons.
He likes realistic ones.
It's the overreaction.
Let's find a cartoon.
It's the overreaction. Yeah.
So I've been I have never watched Archer.
Oh, okay.
Another not safe for work cartoon.
Crazy. Yeah,
that you guys probably wouldn't like, but I've been enjoying it. Anyway, that's my geek.
Awesome. All right. If you want ants, that's how you get ants.
All right. Well, I mean, I haven't done a lot either. Like I said, I've been catching up on series. My wife and we finished season one of Supergirl. Really enjoyed that. That was lots of fun.
Oh,
go for it.
Westworld.
Westworld.
Oh, yeah.
Thumbs up.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm a big fan. Yeah, cool. It's really good.
Cool.
Anyway, go ahead.
Anyway, so now we're catching up on season two of Flash. They just tried to give Barry his powers back, and he disintegrated.
So. Oh, okay.
I haven't caught up. Thanks, Dick. Oh, wait.
Spoilers.
Edit that out. Beep!
So, but I, you know, it's just like, it's hard in like a TV series. It's like he's not dead. It's just like,
oh, right.
He's not dead. It's not like it's not like a book or something that it's like a single book books. And you're just like, did they just kill that character? But it's just
like the Walking Dead.
Yeah, exactly. Which spoilers.
When somebody dies, they really die.
Spoilers happen.
Even Game of Thrones is like, is he really dead?
Oh, I know. Like Jon Snow.
Jon Snow. But so you know, I know that he's like, I don't know, like he's one with the Speed Force right now or something like that, and so he's gonna come back.
That's a possibility.
Yeah, I know, right? So we did that. Of course, playing Overwatch.
Of course.
So
I've had a lot of friends. Okay, two. I've had two friends.
All of your friends.
I have
My only friends that and they are like totally in love with Junkrat.
Oh. Yeah, he's a fun character.
But they want to do, they're girls, so they want to do a girl version cosplay.
I've seen girl cosplay Junkrats already. And so
it works.
I you know, still love that. The World Championship's going to be starting soon, so I'm excited for that.
Already doing that.
They've already had a couple World Championships. This one's like associated with BlizzCon, which is coming up, where it's not your traditional esports teams. They actually did voting. Blizzard did open voting for people to pick their favorite players from different countries to represent their country. So like the team captain for America is probably the biggest Overwatch streamer on Twitch. And he's also a pro player. He plays for NRG esports team, but his name, name is Seagull. That's his gamer tag name. And so he was made team captain, and then then filled his team full. And so they have 16 teams, and they're going to, you know, have the big competition. So I look forward to watching that. It's lots of fun. Started a new book called The
Maybe I should get on that gravy train.
Dude.
Maybe.
Play
video games for a living?
Play.
It's a lot harder than it sounds.
Well, it's like getting a professional NFL player.
It really is like trying to get into professional sports. Like, you have just as much chance to be a pro basketball player as you do a pro video gamer these days.
So you're saying I have a chance.
I started a new book called The Hollow Boy, which is the continuation of the teen book series called Lockwood and Company about the paranormal investigators. I really enjoy this series. I don't know if it's the investigation side of it or just how they're dealing with fighting ghosts and everything, but I just dig it. I really like it, and just how they handle fighting ghosts and everything. It's really cool.
They're great.
But yeah, so let's, we don't have much more time. John does have to go to work. So let's jump into the next segment of the show. The Weekly Geek. This is the Weekly Geek, where we talk about geeky news that happened throughout the last couple weeks. Now, there are some bigger things that happen, a couple little things.
So we're going to talk about the Nintendo Switch.
Well, hold on. Let me tell you what we're going to do.
Oh, so okay.
This is what we're going to do to save on time. So all of us are going to pick a story that they want to talk about, and we'll only talk about four different news stories. So just so we can move this along. So John, let's start with you. You can pick one story. What would be your story of the week, so to speak?
So Nintendo revealed their new console. It's no longer the NX. It's now called the Nintendo Switch.
It was never the NX in the first place.
Well, I know. It was code name. But it's now been officially revealed, and it pretty much confirms everything that was already leaked about the console. Everybody knew that it was going to be like a handheld device that could somehow dock to your TV. There was rumors that there was going to be that it was going to run off cartridges. That's been confirmed.
Yeah.
There was rumors that and leaks that the controllers would attach to the side of the tablet. That's been confirmed.
That's true.
So pretty much everything that was already leaked I bet that's probably why they put this intro teaser movie together.
Yeah, it was just a trailer, and it doesn't really give you all the information.
No,
Matt, did you see the trolling about that section with the girl who was like playing in the house, and then her friends are like,
"Oh yeah,
across the way on the roof."
Like, thanks,
and she's like, "Oh, okay." And so she like brings her tablet, and they're like, "Oh, great." So Terry brought her tablet thing again to the party. This is an adult party, Terry.
Hey, you know, adults
people
play video
trolling,
games.
You know, but it's just funny. Or my favorite is, Nintendo, hey, we're playing basketball. But now we're playing basketball.
We go play basketball. Let's go play basketball after we play basketball.
But the big thing is, how much power does it really have, and how long does the battery last?
Yeah, there's a lot of questions that that people have, and Nintendo has said that they are going to have their official
press conference
in January.
Yeah.
So it's not going to be until after Christmas, because they're going to have this big press event in January, and then it's going to come out in March. But yeah, there's a lot of questions that people have about exactly. And one of the big things is whether or not it's a touchscreen.
Yeah, because no one ever touched the screen in the
video. Nobody ever used it. So there are some things that they're obviously holding back on revealing.
Well, and also they never showed whether like are you going to be able to play like Netflix or something like that?
Well, I'm sure it's going to run like a standard tablet as well.
I'm sure,
that's pretty much what it is.
But unanswered questions. That's what
is it going to be like the Surface, like the Microsoft Surface, but a gaming system?
We really don't know very many details at all.
Exactly. But it's exciting.
It looks cool.
I think it looks cool.
No, the concept behind it is pretty neat.
Well, I like the fact that they're going back to cartridges. One,
Sure.
My number one reason for that, children.
You want to blow in the slot? No,
that's like the number one reason not to go to cartridges.
No, because of children. No,
because those little teeny DS cartridges can.
Oh, they lose them all the time. Oh yeah, oh, my gosh.
How many DS games we've lost over the years? Like,
oh, I know.
Seriously,
hundreds of dollars worth of DS games have gotten.
Seriously,
lost, you know, and so
there's a reason the PS Vita is mine.
Did you notice that there were no children in the trailer?
Yeah, that's true. No, it's there so, so
a
true.
Ban like, on children.
No, they were all 30 somethings.
They did that,
but Nintendo's not dumb. They know that their number one market is still children and families. And so even though they show it in the trailer, it doesn't matter that there aren't kids in the trailer. Kids are still going to see it and want it.
I honestly think
the 3DS have a hard time. Is a kid console, and they're probably going to have the adult console be
they would lose so much money if they did that.
Like my 3-year-old...
No, the kids are going to play it anyway, but I'm not saying they don't have to advertise.
She could pick up a Wii controller and play a Wii game using the Wii controller. I guarantee you she's not going to be able to play on this NX with the controllers on the side of the tablets.
Or
the Switch, whatever. Of course they come off, but I'm just saying that's, in my opinion, that's kind of even, as far as kids are concerned, that's even worse because then you're going to lose like one of the controllers.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. How many times have you had a controller break they get all mad and they throw it down?
Or, just get lost, like in the couch, you know, and then
use the wrist strap
later. Yeah. Yeah. It's not very kid friendly.
It is not a kid friendly system. That's why I said it's been marketed to 30 somethings.
So it's going to be interesting to see how they continue to market it. Yeah. And
I think we'll see
demographic they're really going after.
I think we'll see a market change. Like, They are gonna market to kids.
Well, I mean, they're eventually going to, sure, yes. However, but it'll be interesting, you know. But we won't really know more until January.
Yeah. All right, Ryan, what's your story of the week? What story would you want to talk about?
Well, there's a big thing about J.J. Abrams and his new movie in the Cloverfield series.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I was excited to read about that and how the God particle is going to be a part of the Cloverfield universe.
Well, it's
the Cloverfield Lane
wasn't originally a Cloverfield movie, like in the universe.
That doesn't surprise me because the whole movie is like not about.
It's not about monsters.
Monsters at all until the last 5 minutes.
Right.
Yeah.
And you're like.
And then you're like, what? He was right the whole time?
I know, right?
It was a great, great movie.
I really liked that movie. It was good.
And it's a movie that you guys can watch because it's not rated R.
That's right.
Well, I watched it, and I watched it on...
I haven't seen it.
I watched it on VidAngel, so it took out, like, the extra language, too.
I'm sure the melting corpse.
Yes. We saw that one.
Oh, did you? They didn't edit that?
You can choose your filters.
Oh, well, okay. Blood and guts, yay.
Bad swearing, label. No.
That hurts my feet, please.
It does. It hurts me inside.
Nudity, ew.
Ew. Nobody, but ew.
Ew. Ew. Anyway,
So that's pretty cool that they're continuing to
apparently tie
these movies into the same universe.
Apparently, it's about a group of astronauts that
it's on the space station.
On a space station, and then like Earth disappears.
Yeah, like the planet disappears.
Yeah,
and they're like in the space station going, like,
"Where'd Earth go?"
Houston, we have a problem.
The space station would just float off into nothing space.
Yep.
It would be attracted to the next largest mass. It's just invisible.
Yeah, exactly. It would go crashing into the moon.
Either way,
it would start hitting the moon.
You know, the 10 Cloverfield Lane was such a good movie. A good
non-science fiction movie.
Yes.
Right, right.
Yeah.
It was a movie about, you know, people's interactions when a cataclysm happens.
When a crisis sure. happens, yeah.
Right, right, right.
And where you really don't know the people around you, so there's really not a lot of trust. Now, that movie puts a very interesting perspective on the whole alien thing.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of TV shows that kind of delve into that successfully without being completely boring. For example, like the television show, what was it called? Where the aliens came and it never mind. It doesn't matter.
V?
No, the new one that was with
Fallen Skies.
Fallen Skies.
On TNT.
Isn't there a new one called Arrival?
That's a movie yes. coming out.
Oh,
it looked like
the same
Aftermath
thing.
Aftermath is the new
series. Aftermath.
Oh,
Aftermath.
I didn't know that was about aliens.
Well, I just watched the first episode. No, I'm not. This is two different conversations.
Oh.
One about aliens, over.
Sorry.
Okay. Falling Skies. You nailed it, John.
All right. I said the new show.
Yeah.
The new
Take
show.
Thanks for the credit.
Aftermath. Pretty interesting.
Aftermath. Okay, yeah. Okay. I've heard of it. It's like a post-apocalyptic kind of thing, right?
Yes, but there's this kind of twist where are aliens involved?
Oh, yeah. Okay. What channel is that on?
Sci-Fi.
Oh, okay.
Cool.
Sippy.
Sweet.
So I only watched the first episode. Anyway, sorry to totally interrupt you.
No, that's fine.
No.
You're awesome. All right, Mike, what's your story of the week?
I don't know. I kind of talked about it already.
Okay. All right, next.
Okay, right, Mike.
Yeah, go.
Well,
go.
I can go. Touched. My story of the week is my favorite author is about to make a lot of money.
Yes, that's very true.
So,
like, even more money.
So Brandon Sanderson just signed a contract deal. Now, granted, a lot of authors sell the rights to their books.
A lot of authors sell the rights to their books.
Listen
to our Brandon Mull.
Yeah, we talked to Brandon Mull about that. But the thing that's different about this, in my opinion, is they didn't just buy one book. They bought rights to Brandon Sanderson's
universe.
Cosmere universe.
It's like buying the rights to Marvel.
Yeah. So
essentially, because then you can just do whatever
they could just make
within
whatever
that
movie
universe
they want. Uh-huh. And they already have directors and writers. And I thought it was interesting that the first movie that they're going to start with is The Way of Kings.
Way of Kings.
Which is the first book in the Stormlight archive, which is only has two books right now. And
in my opinion, I think that's a good place to start, actually.
Well, but they also talked about how at the same time, because since they're both in the same Cosmere, but they're two different movies or worlds, that they're going to film the first Mistborn book at the same
right.
time
they're
gonna as well.
Work,
yeah.
work
the Mistborn, okay. I can honestly see that as almost like a horror thriller type action film,
Guillermo,
to be honest.
Guillermo del Toro.
Exactly.
Direct.
Think about that would be awesome because think about the imagery he can really relate to,
like the steel inquisitors
and the
with the
soldiers,
spikes
right?
in their eyes.
Yeah, and, yeah, those are like the Iron Soldiers where they have
they're steel inquisitors.
Steel inquisitors.
I thought it was
sorry.
Interesting. I thought it was interesting that the writers that they hired to start putting together the Way of Kings
movie. Saw.
Yeah, they did like the last like four. Movies in the Saw series, and I'm like,
I was kind of weirded out by that too. I'm like, that's weird.
Like, these are the guys you want writing. Well, of course they did say that Brandon Sanderson is going to be involved as
he's
well.
He is an executive producer, so he will be involved.
Despite the imagery of the Saw series, the writing is pretty intense to create the intrigue and the
stuff,
craziness because a lot of the Saw series happens within a very small venue, and so it's very intricate.
You know,
and
but
so
way,
it's, if
way
you take
of Kings
that thought
is just
process
this
with
huge
Brent,
epic
fantasy,
you know, like
right?
Lord of the
but
Rings
if it's
type.
But look at Lord of the Rings. Unlike The Way of Kings, The Way of Kings is very detailed. I mean, the book is giant.
Okay, granted,
the Lord of the Rings is like this entire vagueness world. Really... But we'll concentrate on characters, not world.
Michael's got a good point because, and it's funny that he brings up that Lord of the Rings kind of got brought up because what was Peter Jackson's first movie?
He did horror movies.
It was this totally horror zombie movie called like Dead Alive or something like that. That was like his first movie. So I think that if anybody, you know, was like, you're going to get Peter Jackson to do Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, so I mean, this is kind of the same thing. Okay. So
that's a good point.
I mean, anybody, if they want to, if they're a good writer, then they should be able to take the medium and turn it into
Brandon Sanderson himself, you know, and I imagine he was in talks with other production studios, but he said this was the production studio that truly understood his vision on what the Cosmere should be
and that's a good thing world. Because I mean, it's good that the author is excited about the deal.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times, you know, they're not necessarily super excited about the deal. They're
compromises because of the dollar signs.
Yes. Exactly. Well, there are
going to be a lot of dollar signs involved because in the article, they already talked about how, like, if this works out and they just continue to make movies from the Cosmere, they're like, the way that he did the contract is like, they're saying that he's just going to make millions of dollars.
Well, the deal itself was for like $270 million.
It was $270 million for producing the movies.
Is Brandon Sanderson going to be the next J.K. Rowling, the next billionaire author?
It was really interesting. In the article, they were talking about how there are so many huge best-selling authors that have movies based off of their books already, and they said like Brandon Sanderson has sold so many copies of his books around the world.
Yeah, I'm surprised it hasn't happened sooner.
Yeah,
to be honest.
And that's what they were saying. They're like, and yet he doesn't have a movie off of any of his world best-selling books.
Right.
And so they're like, it's money in the bag, baby.
So I hope so, because I mean, you know, as we know from talking to author Brandon Mole, that just because a company purchases the rights to doesn't necessarily mean that anything's really going to come
exactly because he had several different companies produce his
Think about it. When we interviewed him, he was a 9-time best-selling author, New York best-selling author, and he had 5 different offers for films.
And they all
now
fell through.
Now he's like an 11-year, you know, 11-time
every single one of his books have been bestsellers, But same thing with Brandon Sanderson.
But
It
could turn into something. It could turn into absolutely nothing.
The thing that bodes well for the whole situation is the fact that they're like, they've already got people in place writing.
They have directors and writers already for the first
movie. So they're like serious about it. So it's not like, hey, you know, we think we'd like to eventually make something out of your movie, out of your book.
Sometimes that doesn't happen, though, because...
Well, that's true, too.
You know, look at Robotech,
movie. There's been so many...
There's been 4 different writers, 3 different directors, 8 different producers.
Right.
Well, hopefully...
But it's still not gone anywhere.
Hopefully the amount of money that they've invested towards it already proves that they want to get it done. You know, $270 million?
So. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how that, you know.
All right.
We will
see. Now it's time for
Geeky Trivia.
Ooh, it better be real fast because I got
to
go.
Okay. Well,
where does John need to go?
Ryan,
I win!
Woo! Ryan gets negative points because he's not here.
He's not even here.
Oh, there he is. Okay.
Ryan automatically loses.
Ryan, are you ready for Geeky Trivia?
Yep.
Okay. Question number 1. What is the questionable AI program in charge in Portal?
GLaDOS.
GLaDOS is correct. John.
I couldn't remember her name.
All right. Next question. What was the name of Mork's furry friend?
Whoa.
Morgs?
I have no... Yeah, more like from
Mork and Mindy. I know Mork and Mindy, but I'm like, I didn't know he had a furry friend.
Yeah, I don't even remember.
I knew.
No.
Bebo is the answer.
Oh, wow.
No. I guess I could have given you multiple choice, but too late. Who? Maybe Mike will get this. This is an anime question.
I don't know.
Who is the ringmaster of the Dead Moon Circus?
I don't know, but that sounds kind of cool.
Yeah. You have Zirconia, Barnum, Jack Napier, or Sailor Moon?
Barnum.
Yeah.
Incorrect.
I don't know.
It's the first one.
It was Zirconia.
I know what you're talking about, but I've never watched the series.
Was it from the Sailor Moon series?
No, not at all.
The same artist, though, it looked like. What movie made a cameo appearance in the 1958 movie The Blob?
Oh, it was what they were watching on the movie screen at the drive-in.
Gone with the Wind.
When the blob came through.
Good guess, but no.
Casablanca.
No, yeah,
King Kong.
I have no idea. What?
Dementia.
Oh, gosh.
All right.
Trivia this week.
Random question week on.
What castle does Skeletor have his eye sockets on?
Castle Grayskull?
Isn't it?
No.
I don't know.
Yes, Grayskull is correct.
Oh, okay.
Gosh!
Hey, that's the only castle that I can...
Yeah, that's the only one.
Just leaving you hanging. What substance gives Hawkman his... Orinthi-
Nth metal.
All right.
Good job,
Hawkman.
The Hawkman question, Ryan's got it.
Ryan's got that one. All right. Which is not... a race in StarCraft? Zerg, Terrans, Daxamites. Ryan got that slightly before John.
But come on now.
Boo, he says.
And the Protoss,
yep. That's right. What model of replicant is Rick Deckard sent to decommission?
Four.
Model.
Good one. I don't know.
Oh, no, it was a Series 4.
It was the Eris model?
Series?
The
Series?
No. It was no. No, it's based on a... Siri it's a model? Name. No.
I can't remember.
I know. I don't...
The Nexus 6.
Oh, Nexus 6.
Oh, okay.
And that right. rings... See, and that's on my read book. That's on my read list to reread that book.
All right, you guys ready for this one? You guys know this one. All of them.
Famous last words.
At what speed does Doc Brown's DeLorean enter time travel mode?
88 miles per hour.
Boom, Ryan.
I was chewing.
John was on mute, so.
Yeah. John was on mute, and I was on pizza.
That was a gimme for Ryan.
Yeah,
you're welcome, Ryan.
You can talk to your children. I'm good.
Hey, you know.
Who are the aliens keeping the fifth element on lockdown?
Oh, what?
The
oh, I don't even know.
Where are they?
The Ithorians.
No.
The Illuvians. The Amanians.
The Laxians.
The Mondo Shawans.
I was going to get there eventually.
Yeah. Tooting you now.
Starts with A and moves to B.
Ends with Shawan. There we go.
Man, I need to see that movie again.
I know, yeah, right? I'm excited for his new movie coming out. What planet expresses most... we'll just skip that one.
Okay.
I can't pronounce it. I can't do it. What ritual does Logan escape by running for his life?
The ritual of no the ritual
oh, yeah,
of
from and Logan's
the,
run.
the the circus, the end of life cycle.
Yeah,
the transition
or the
no the well yeah ascending. it was this the no
the circle
it's the circus it's
the cyclone the the vortex
the carousel.
Carousel.
Oh, so close.
Dang it.
Wow.
I knew the reference, but I was like, I couldn't remember.
You said Logan. I immediately went to Wolverine.
That's right.
And he said Logan, and I immediately thought of Logan's Run. So that's fun. There you go.
Who robbed Professor X of his legs?
Magneto? The comics or the movie?
Juggernaut.
Well, is there a different answer in the comics than the movies, Ryan?
In the movie, it was a side effect of his psychic abilities. The more psychic he was, the less he could use his legs.
That's why
he took the serum, the same serum that Hank McCoy took to repress his psychic abilities. But in the comics, it's totally different.
Yeah.
Mike was right. Magneto is the answer.
Yeah, in the comics, it was okay. Magneto. That's why I was like, I was confused. You and leaving me hanging. I hate that.
I know. Who is the only human survivor aboard the Red Dwarf?
Lister. Oh, that's a three-way tie.
Who can give me his first name?
He has a first name?
Yes. Richard Lister. Dave Lister.
Dang it, now it's Listy.
That's a very unknown show. Dead Dave. Along a lot of American geeks.
Yeah, season 13's coming out.
I know. Yeah. Keep making them. That's
what company tries to in Big Hero 6, the movie?
Oh, okay.
What company tries to buy Hero's bots from him?
I've never seen the film.
What? Wait. You haven't seen Big Hero 6?
No.
Dude, it's so good.
I don't.
Okay, anyway, go.
Is it Stark Industries?
Nope.
Intel?
Nope.
Acme Corp?
Nope.
Or Cretec?
Yes! Good job.
Good job. All right.
Last three.
What battle does the Firefly spaceship get its name from?
Serenity?
What battle?
The Battle of Serenity?
Brown Coat Battle.
Battle of Serenity Prime?
Battle of the Brown Coats.
Close! You gotta finish it!
Oh.
The Battle of Serenity...
Brown Coat. Yeah,
not Serenity Prime.
Battle of Serenity... Hey, who cares? What's next?
Serenity 12.
Valley.
The Battle of Serenity Valley. Yes, I got it! Woo!
Good job, man!
Okay, last one.
All right. What shadow government was the bane of Mulder and Scully?
The Illuminati.
No, this the cancer
the black
man.
Men.
I can't remember the name of X-Files.
Come on.
No, you know, they're the ones that were like trying to prepare the world for the alien, you know, takeover. They created the bees.
Institution
the answer
A.
is the Syndicate.
The Syndicate. Okay. Yeah. I
And all
remember.
In all, out of the 27 questions, we got 4 correct.
and Ryan, I think wins.
The winner is Ryan!
Yay! I got 3 right.
With Michael in second place and John in last.
Whoa. Hey, he's got his mind on his work.
That's right.
Yeah, he's like, I need to go to work, guys. That's out of here.
Well, thank you for listening to The Closet Geek. You can find us at theclosetgeek.net and also on all of our social media, but we are most active on Facebook, so look us up there. And you can email us at theclosetgeekpod@gmail.com. Don't forget to like, share, subscribe, rate, and review our show on iTunes, Stitcher, and everywhere else you can find a podcast. And join us next time. We are the Four Horsemen of Geek, reminding you to wave your geek flag proudly. You've been listening to a Closet Geek Studios production. For all information about Closet Geek Studios, visit theclosetgeek.net for all your geeky needs, or follow us on Twitter and Facebook.